So this morning, we've already had a number of people come to me and say, if we get snowed in, do we have, like, plans for lunch? And so here's the plan. We are in a series on prayer. There is a pack of crackers and a can of tuna. And how well you pray determines how much you eat at lunch. All right? So I am excited to see each of you that are here. This morning, we are talking about forgetfulness and how that impacts our prayer life. Now, if you are one of those rare people who has a fantastic memory, you forget nothing, your mind is like a steel trap, then just tune me out for the next 2 to 3 minutes, because the rest of us need to chat about some things. So the rest of us have some things that would bind us together. We have the ability to walk into a room and suddenly forget why we're in that room. We do a lot of wandering and wondering at this point in our life. We buy multiples of things because we forget where we put the first one. If we meet a new person, we will forget their name in less than 1.7 seconds. We can go to Walmart for 3 items, forget what 2 of them are, and not remember where we parked our car on the way out. We got some issues. There's some stuff to deal with. Now, I don't think anybody can fully appreciate a good memory until it's gone. And unfortunately, it goes much faster than what we would think. Whenever you're young, you could probably remember your grandparents talking about forgetting some things. And you were thinking to yourself, that's not a concern of mine because that's an age issue. And my grandparents are really old. They were like 60 at the time. And in your mind, you're just thinking, it's so far out there, that's not going to happen to me, until it does. And all of a sudden, it starts small. You might forget an appointment. Maybe you forget a person's name. You forget something on your to-do list. And you hear people talk about forgetting. They write stuff down, so you start doing that, and then that helps. I mean, you wrote the stuff down, you feel mature, you feel responsible, and then you can't remember where you put your reminders. So then you add some things to this. You start buying apps to organize your day, and you set alarms to keep you on track, and you put everything on a calendar to keep all the trains moving in the same direction throughout the day. And it's helped. But there's still an issue in your mind because you're thinking, I'm still too young for this to happen to me. And sometimes it starts and you're like 22, 26, 31. And like, I'm too young to have memory issues. And then you make the fatal mistake. You decide to go online in order to diagnose your symptoms to see if there's something like really wrong with you. That is a quick trip to depression because, like, inside of 5 minutes, you will diagnose yourself with 4 memory diseases and a rare form of cancer and low B12 and a bad thyroid and a broken leg. And nobody's got time for all of those things in their life. So if you're at that place and you've not yet gone online to diagnose your symptoms, let me just kind of give you some basics about memory for a moment. Here it is. People tend to become more forgetful with age, period. The brain just changes over time. Information is processed more slowly and it's stored less efficiently. A number of different factors will add into this. Things like normal brain aging is one. Cluttered memories. Here's what that means. As you get older, you have more accumulated knowledge and more life experience that's circulating in your head. It takes time and effort to keep all of those things together. There are health as well as medical conditions. There's certain medicines and other substances that produce short-term forgetfulness as well as long-term cognitive decline. There's mood and sleep and lifestyle issues that can reduce your concentration, and they interfere with encoding new memories. So, yes, there are certain pieces with normal aging and life-related medical issues that can lead to forgetfulness. But did you know, according to Scripture, there are also spiritual, maturity-related, character issues that also lead towards forgetfulness? And these are the issues that will have an adverse effect on our walk with God and absolutely an impact on our prayer life. That is what we are going to focus on this morning. So if you have not been a part of this series so far, we are in a message series talking about staying at the mountain. And we've talked about how elite mountain climbers will set their sights on what's called the seven summits. That is the seven highest mountains on each of the seven continents. And these climbers, they will push themselves to their physical and their mental limits because they want to do what very few other people have ever done. They want to be a part of that elite group that has said, I've been able to climb all seven mountains. Well, we merged that idea into prayer. Just as there are elite mountain climbers, there's also elite prayer warriors. And these people have also pushed themselves, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes out of desire. They've pushed themselves to do what very few other people have done. They wanted to experience God in some of the deepest ways, to see incredible answers to prayer, to do what very few people before them or after them have been willing to do. And because of that, their numbers are also few. Now, while that group is elite, it is by no means exclusive. Anybody can join the group. But in order to join that particular group, you're going to have to conquer seven mountains of growth that are all related to prayer. And very few people will conquer all seven. Now, that does not mean that a person who conquers two of these mountains or four of these mountains is not going to be blessed by it. In fact, for that matter, conquering any of them will enhance your prayer life. But for the person who wants to experience what few others have, for the person who wants to meet with God on the mountains, the person who wants to share with their family and their grandkids one day about, this is what we were praying for and this is how God answered. If they have a desire to scale the mountains with God, God will grow you and strengthen you to conquer all seven. So far, we have addressed the mountain of quitting and the mountain of doubt. And today we set our sights on the mountain of forgetfulness. When it comes to prayer, forgetfulness is not just an age issue. It's not just a personality quirk. It reveals a maturity concern that is related to covenant relationship. If you're going to challenge yourself to scale all of these growth mountains, then you're going to have to face some extremely difficult truth when it comes to forgetfulness. These issues that we're going to address today, they will impact your walk with God. They will impact your worship of God. They will impact your prayer to God. We've got a lot to cover this morning. I invite you to go with me in your Bibles today to the book of Psalms, chapter number 103. Psalm 103, we're going to be in verses 1 and 2. I'm speaking today on the mountain of forgetfulness. The mountain of forgetfulness. Psalm 103, we're going to be in verses 1 and 2. The text says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Let's pray. Father, would you walk us through your word today? May we not miss the simplicity and yet the complexity of this text. God, would you personalize it for every single person in the room, those who are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start at the wide end of the funnel, and we're going to work our way to the narrow end. So the book of Psalms is actually one that could be broken down into five different books or five different sections. I've listed those in your notes for you. So, for example, the first book, or book number one, that would be Psalms chapter 1 through 41. Book 2, Psalm 42 through 72, right on down the line. It can be broken down into five different books. Now, these divisions are a marking an intentional covenantal structure that mirrors the five different books of Moses. It highlights key theological movements, and it provides a liturgical endpoint for Israel's worship. At the very end of book number 4, there is a major emphasis on praising God. So, in fact, you'll find the final 4 chapters of book number 4 have this focus on praise. This should be in your notes as well. God's people are to praise him for his benefits to his people. That is in chapter 103. His care of creation. That's found in chapter 104. His wonderful acts on behalf of Israel, 105. And his long suffering with his people's rebellion, found in chapter 106. Now, if you were to read chapter 103 very carefully, you'll notice there's no prayer request that are found in chapter 103. It's just praise. There is an endless list of praise. And it's within this constant stream of praise that there is subtle but a very clear warning. Don't forget God's blessings after you've received them. Don't forget God's blessings after you've received them. We just sang multiple songs praising God for who he is as well as what he's done. That's a part of what we're doing. We are praising God. We are thanking God. We're not wanting to forget what he has done in our life. To help people remember God's blessings, David lays out a beautiful structure in chapter 103. He starts with personal praise. That's found in verses 1 through 6. Then he moves to national praise. That's found in verses 6 through 19. And then he even moves into universal praise, like all of creation joining in. That's found over in verses 20 through 22. The chapter is a vital chapter showing forgetfulness, praise, and future prayer all linked together. Now, all of that is represented in our two big truths for this morning. I'm going to give you both of them at the same time because you need to see how they work together, and then we're going to work on each of these different pieces as we go through. So here's both of those truths at one time. Big truth number one, we stop praising when we stop remembering. Big truth two, when we stop remembering, we stop asking. Do you see the sequence that we're working through? One of the first indicators in your life that you are forgetting what God has done and forgetting who God is praise is seldom on your lips. When we stop praising, is because we stop remembering. And when we stop remembering, we stop asking. So at least 14 different times in the book of Deuteronomy, we find that Moses admonished the people to remember what the Lord has done for you. At least 9 times in the book of Deuteronomy alone, he cautioned them, do not forget God. Do not forget what God has done for you. So to forget his benefits, as it is mentioned in verse number 2 of Psalm 103, to forget his benefits is to disregard the nature of his covenantal lordship. I know that's a strange term, but it is to disregard the nature of his covenantal lordship. Failing to praise him, it shows that there is a major problem that is developing in that person's spiritual life. Or as verse number 10 would indicate, we have forgotten that God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. When we forget those pieces, you'll find that praise is seldom on our lips. Said differently, lack of praise shows a person has forgotten what God has done for them. Now, those who are going to remember, they're going to praise him. You don't even have to beg them for praise. Hey, you'd be walking down the road and somebody says, hey, have you seen my new car? And they're like, I don't have a new car, but I got a running car. Can I tell you what God has done for me? Like, they don't need to be prompted. It's just there. It's right at the surface because they're remembering where he found them and what he did for them and how he is at work in their life today. So in Psalm 103, David starts by addressing himself. Pause. That's where every single one of us needs to start. Amen. Don't be looking at everybody else and saying, I hope somebody else is listening to this right now. Don't deflect it. Sit with it personally. He recognized his own tendency to get distracted and to be forgetful of what God has done. So he prepares himself to begin to write out this list, but he was wise enough to understand that praise requires preparation. Don't let that slip past you. Praise requires preparation. As a student of the heart, David understood that people just don't fall into praise, but rather praise rises from the fires of remembrance. Without remembering, without preparing our hearts, we instinctively move towards growing cold and forgetful. We forget what God has done, who He is, how He is at work in our life today. We have to be stirred in the area of praise. So before he even mentions the first word of praise, he begins to stoke the coals in his own heart. Listen to him talk to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. God, may there not be a single part of who I am that's not involved in this. Bless his holy name. Bless his multifaceted nature. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to himself. Stir up the praise of God in my heart and forget none of his benefits. God, help me not to forget a single thing that you have done in my life. So what can we learn about praise that helps us in forgetfulness? Here's the first piece, and all of this would be under big truth number one. Here's the first piece. Praising God flows from your soul and incorporates your whole being. It flows deep from inside and incorporates your whole being. David exhorts his soul to bless the Lord. The soul refers to the entire self, the inmost being. It describes the person and their appetites, their mind, their desires, their emotions, their passions. All of those pieces come together in the soul itself. And that phrase, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's found in verse 2, verse 22, chapter 104, verse 1, chapter 104, verse 35. Here's why that's important. When Scripture uses repetition, most of the time it is to emphasize the teaching that was just shared. So, for example, Jesus would say things like this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." It was the double verily. What he was doing is he was saying, "I want you to listen closely. I want to emphasize the truth I'm about to share." In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's emphasizing the anguish of the soul. And in this area, when there's repetition used in Scripture, it's primarily for emphasis. And this idea, bless the Lord, O my soul. 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 Based on the fact that we forget so easily, God has built the emphasis into the command so that we see how important it is to keep praising Him. Now, we have to be careful here. We can fool ourselves into thinking we're praising God when we're not praising God. A lot of this happens on Sunday at church. A lot of this happens throughout the week in our regular life. We don't bless the Lord by going through the motions of praise or by grudgingly offering our praise to God. That's not blessing the Lord. In fact, to bless the Lord, listen to this definition. It means to delight his heart by expressing love and gratitude for who he is and for what he's done. We don't bless the Lord by coming to church and leaving our mind at home. We don't bless the Lord by singing lyrics without thinking through what we're singing. We don't bless the Lord by just standing and nothing coming out of our mouth and saying, "Well, at least I'm here." That's not blessing the Lord. The blessing the Lord, it comes from the soul, the inmost part of who we are. And it's a gratitude and affection for what he's done and for who he is. Listen to Jonathan Edwards. He taught that no true worship ever happens that does not touch the affections of the person. Sometimes, especially in Baptist life, we get nervous when people get excited. I don't know why. Maybe we think that like theology is being thrown out the door or something, but somebody puts a smile, they lift a hand, like, "Whoa, watch out, watch out. You're right at the edge." Not according to Scripture, you're not. In fact, there needs to be rejoicing The Bible talks about lifting holy hands. The Bible talks about praising him with the loud cymbal and praising him with the harp and praising him with the stringed instruments. Like we need to be engaged in worship. But the issue is not just what are you singing? It's where's it coming from? Is it coming from that soul, the innermost part of who we are? When we bless the Lord, it means we are stirred with affection and gratitude for who he is and for what he's done. Take note of the alls in this particular song. It speaks of this total commitment to God. For example, the word all is found 9 times in chapter 103. He speaks of blessing God with all that is within me, verse 1. Because he pardons all of our iniquities, verse 3. And heals all of our diseases, verse 3. And he'll do it for all who are oppressed, verse 6. God sovereignly rules over all, verse 19. Should be praised by all heavenly hosts, verse 21. And it should happen in all the places of his dominion, in verse number 22. That's a lot of alls going on. That leads into the next part of this. Praising God focuses on his name and his many benefits. So God's name and his benefits are connected together. The name calls to remembrance all of his perfections. Think of the way that throughout Scripture, the name of God was connected with an attribute of God or connected with the activity of God. His name is connected with his perfections as well as his acts of deliverance. So a great example of that would be when God gave his covenant name Yahweh to the people of Israel back in Exodus chapter 6. We find that name Yahweh, it was one that was revealed in connection with his benefits of redeeming Israel from Egypt, giving them the land of promise, as well as fulfilling his many promises to the people. His name was connected with his benefits. So in verses 3 through 22, David encourages us to bless his holy name, here it is, while reciting the many benefits that you have in covenant community. In other words, here's a part of how you do it. Remember, think through what he's done for you. What does it look like to be in covenant community? What did he do in your life when you were separated from him by sin? What did he do to deal with the sin and to bring you into right fellowship with him? That's where he's saying, remember those things because that's a part of being in covenant community. So we're just going to quickly walk through some of these because, for example, verses 3 through 5, I know that's not in our first two verses, but this is the bonus round. This is because you showed up with snow outside. So here's the bonus round, but there's like different attributes, 6 of these that he lists there that's God gives forgiveness and healing and redemption and love and satisfaction as well as renewal. But notice how it's worked out. He forgives our sin. The greatest benefit you and I will ever receive in relation to the Lord is the fact he forgave us. Only made possible by what Jesus has done on the cross for us. But notice the way forgiveness is worked out. Verse 3 speaks of the number of sins forgiven. He forgives all our iniquities. Verse 12 elaborates on the scope of that forgiveness. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. Also, he heals our bodies, verse 3. Now, some have used this to support what is called healing in the atonement. Healing in the atonement. That idea means that Jesus saves a person as he atones for their sin. They are instantly healed physically, spiritually, and emotionally of anything in their life, or they have the right to all of those things after salvation. My friends, that's bad theology. That is not what the atonement is about. When the Bible speaks of the atonement, here's what it is referring to. Atonement is the idea that through Jesus' death and resurrection, God did everything needed once and for all to deal with our sin and bring us into right relationship with God. Atonement deals with the sin that separates us from God. It does not spare us from sickness as we walk with God. If somebody's telling you, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be sick. Be very concerned with what that person is saying. That does not hold up according to the Word of God. Now, somebody might say, but what does it mean that He heals us of all of our diseases? It means that all healing absolutely comes from God. And He is able to heal us of anything. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. But God is not obligated to heal us on this side of eternity from everything. In fact, you'll notice in Scripture, the Apostle Paul was unable to heal two of his friends, one in Philippians 2, one in 2 Timothy 4. David's son died while David was fasting and praying for his son over in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Everyone who Jesus physically healed eventually died. In other words, even as a child of God, death and the things that lead up to us are still something we're going to have to deal with. Our bodies will not be completely delivered from weakness and disease until we see Jesus one day face to face. But here's the piece we can hold on to today. We know that ultimately there's healing that's going to happen in the presence of God. But here's the other part. God is so unbelievably in control that even in our sickness, He will use it for our good and for His glory. There's no such thing as a wasted experience. He often uses those pieces to develop us. The next is He redeems our lives. That's found in verse number 4. The word redeem, it would point that original Jewish audience back to their deliverance from Egypt, back in Exodus chapter 12 through 15. Redemption, it describes God rescuing someone who is about to fall into a pit. And as New Testament believers, we have been redeemed by the work of Christ, and He has rescued us from a pit, which is that pit of eternal damnation in hell. The next is He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Also in verse 4, to crown someone was to ceremonially place a crown or a wreath on a person's head, declaring them to be royalty, to be champions, or to be triumphant in some particular area. Instead of a physical crown or a wreath, it says that He crowns His people with loving kindness and compassion. Did you know that because of what we have been crowned with as being a part of the bride of Christ, it should change how we respond to people? Our first response should not be to punch them in the face. Our first response should not be hatred. It should not be anger. There needs to be loving kindness and compassion because of who we are in Christ. The next is He satisfies us with good things. He didn't just save us in the past. He satisfies us in the present. And He satisfies us with His presence as well as with good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Final part, He renews us with life and strength. The text actually talks about being renewed like eagles. Kind of reminds us of Isaiah 40 verse 31. And if you're wondering why eagles get pulled out, one, they're awesome. I mean, if we're going to talk about a bird, let's talk about a great bird. So eagles are awesome. But the next part of that is eagles, like all other birds, they go through what's called molting. And molting is a natural process where they drop the old feathers, they grow new feathers, and as a part of that, it is to allow the bird to continue to have the right feathers for flight and for insulation. But whenever that happens, that bird comes out looking good. I mean, like they got a new lease on life, like their plumage is looking good, and their feathers are in the right place. So that idea of being renewed like an eagle, the idea here is that when a person is with God, doesn't even matter how old they are, He can renew them so that they look fresh as a daisy. They look ready to go. They're rejuvenated. They got energy left like what they were when they were young. Now, let's pull back from these pieces. We started with two big truths, and everything you've heard so far has been under that first truth. So far, here's what we've talked about. We stop praising when we stop remembering. That was the big idea. Praise stops when we fail to remember who God is and what God has done. And since our hearts move to coldness and forgetfulness, Praise requires preparation. We have to consciously remind ourselves. We have to do these things to stoke the coals of fire and excitement of what God has already done in our life. David provided us with a starter list. He says, remember his forgiveness and his healing and his redemption and his love and his satisfaction and his renewal. Let your soul, the deepest part of who you are, be stirred with affection and gratitude for what he has done and for who he is. Now let's take the last 6 to 7 minutes and let's talk about the implications of the second truth. Big truth number two, when we stop remembering, we stop asking. When we forget those things, everything that was covered in point number one, we stop bringing new things to God. There's a correlation between our remembrance and our future prayers, and there's reasons for this. I'm going to give you several of these in your notes. So just take a moment and think about what's happening in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, prior to the children of Israel going into the land, God warns them about forgetfulness, about praise, and about their future actions where they would forget God. This is what it says in that text. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Pause. You praise him in the moment. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. It says, for the good land that he has given you. That's thanking him for what he has just blessed you with. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. It goes on to say, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. In other words, when praise doesn't happen in the moment, recognizing what God is doing, when that is not addressed, give it a little bit of time and pride begins to sink in. And when pride sinks in, here's what it says. And you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. Failing to praise God leads to forgetting the God who blessed you. When we forget the God who has blessed us, we write ourselves into the narrative of our own life. We put ourselves at the center and we become the hero of the story. We begin to think that somehow we are where we are because of what we did, because of what we accomplished, because of our strength, because of our ingenuity, because of what we've done. And he says very clearly, remember, it's God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It's God who is the one who blessed you with those opportunities. Here's the lesson. Forgetting God leads to pride. Leads to pride. Now we're going to tie these pieces together with prayer in just a moment. But there's another piece that I want to set the story. In Psalm chapter 50, some people were engaging in empty ritualistic worship without remembering God and without obeying God. And so they're going through the motions, and that's not uncommon. To this day, people still go through the motions of worship. But God was addressing his covenant people, and as he addressed them, he speaks to the righteous in verse number 23, and he says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. In other words, those who are grateful, those who are thankful, you honor me when you offer this praise. And then he goes on to say, and to him who orders his way aright, to the person who stays in a path of obedience, he says, I shall show the salvation of God. But then he talks to the wicked in verse 22. And he says, now consider this, you who forgot God, or I will tear you to pieces. There'll be none to deliver. Just on that simple piece, remember, we're no longer under law. We are under grace. But what we can see here is forgetting God is a part of empty worship. But I'd also go a step further and say, forgetting God will bring discipline in your life. God will whoop his kids. It doesn't matter if you're under grace or under the law. He whoops his kids. He corrects his kids. He brings them back into right fellowship with him. Here's another one. In Isaiah chapter 65, forgetting God and his holy mountain, referring to Mount Zion, it meant that the people were now turning to other objects of trust. They were showing up at the same place. They're going through the motions, but they're now diverting their trust to things other than God. Here's what God says in verse 11. He says, you have set a table for fortune. Did you get that? Instead of a table of offering unto him, he's like, you set your table for fortune. And then he says, and you've offered wine to destiny. They're not trusting God. They're trusting that money, that fate will bring them exactly what they want. He's saying those individuals, their affection has been diverted. Their trust is going elsewhere. Forgetting God led to practical atheism. What do I mean by that? It's the belief there is a God, but you live as though he doesn't exist. You're thinking, okay, yeah, God is out there, but for me to experience all that I want, I have to do it myself. I'm going to trust my ingenuity. I'm going to trust my money. I'm going to trust that I can make the right connections. He said, that's a part of forgetting him. Forgetfulness with God is one of those things that leads towards a life of rebellion. Here's one final piece. In Psalm 106, forgetting how God saved in the past resulted in unbelief as well as disobedience in the present. It undermined our future prayers based upon the fact they were unwilling to praise him in the past. In verse 7 of Psalm 106, it talks about, our fathers did not remember your abundant kindness, but rebelled by the sea. Forgetting God led to unbelief and to rebellion. Now let's put all of those pieces together. Forgetfulness with God is not about just being distracted or busy. It points to a sinful spiritual condition. It's showing that God's past mercies, as well as his present claims, are no longer governing the person's heart. Whenever we stop praising God, it is because we have gotten to a place where pride and unbelief and rebellion and diverted trust have now interfered with our current worship and interfering with our prayers. So is there a way to remember? Can we work on our memory? Yes. In fact, I've listed all of these pieces that are in your notes. I'm not going to go through all of those for you. I put references off to the side, but I do want to at least focus on the last two for just a moment. The last two in that list is write down God's activity. Did you all know that a part of the prayer journal that you all have been going through with the 40 days of prayer, there's a part every single day that we're encouraging people, write down for just 3 minutes a day what God is doing in your life. We are helping people build in the discipline of journaling God's faithfulness in their life. So that's a piece. You're actually going through that right now. But here's the last part. That is, pray through God's activity. Not just pray about the stuff that is coming, but also pray and praise God for what he has done in the past. Now, some of you have heard me talk about this already, but there's been an initiative here that we started about 2 years ago called 10,000 Strong. It's a prayer initiative. And what we've been doing is we've been asking that God would bring 10,000 people who'd be willing to pray for 10 minutes each month over 10 specific prayer requests that impact the ministry of Sherwood. That's what we're asking for. It's not a big ask. It's a pretty simple ask overall. When people are asking me, how can we pray for Sherwood? I direct them to this list because it has been one that was written out in a very strategic way to say, these are the key areas we need to keep before people in prayer. Now, here's a way in which you can act on this last piece, praying through God's activity. If you have not yet signed up for that, I can show you how to do that in about 15 seconds. Okay. There's a lot of people who are embarrassed to take out your phone. Other people, you've been reading stuff the whole time. So just use your phone right now. Okay, if you got a phone, have it somewhere around you. Use the phone and tap the disc that is on the seat back in front of you. If you happen to be on the front row, just tap the tab that is on your armrest. If you tap that disc, it's going to take you over to the 10,000 strong page. And literally, here's all that we're asking for there. You're putting your name in, an email address, and if maybe it might be that it's a dad who is acting on behalf of the family, just say how many people are going to be praying through this within your family. That's all we're asking for. We're just asking that if you would, pray for 10 minutes every single month over 10 specific prayer requests. Now, here's the reason it ties in with this last point. One time a year, I will send out an email of kind of a state of the church. This is what God has done in the previous year. If you want a written record, if you want to remember the faithfulness of God, we're going to send that directly out to a person's email address, and that way you will have it to look over, to pray over, to thank God for, all of those pieces. Now, here's the reason I'm bringing it up today. I'm sending out that email this next week. If you have not signed up, just know you're going to miss an opportunity here. It's a simple way to pray over needs specific to Sherwood, as well as to have these praises come directly to you. So we've covered a lot once again this morning. The mountain of forgetfulness. Some forgetfulness, memory issues, it's related to just getting older. But there's a lot of it that is related to a spiritual condition of forgetting who God is and what He's done in your life. If we want to be people of prayer, to deeply engage God, this is one of those mountains that has to be conquered. How do you conquer it? Regularly come before God in praise. Regularly list out the things He's doing. When we've been asking people to write out your prayer request, that is a great way to look back and to say, this is what God has already answered. By the way, if God's already answered at least one of your prayer requests in the last couple of weeks, would you raise your hand to where you are right there? Look around the room, everybody. God answers in response to how we seek Him. It's been incredible. Just this last week, as we've been praying over the Hope Center, one of the things that I just found out, there's been 9 professions of faith in Christ at the Hope Center this last week. God answers, God restores, God does it. But we got to be careful never to take credit. It's not about the intensity of our prayers. It's about the faithfulness of our God. When we bring our needs to Him, He is faithful to answer. If you would, bow with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. As our band is making their way forward and we're finishing out this service, we're going to end with a focus on gratitude, praising God for who He is, for what He has done. But it might be today that God has already prompted some of you that even before the service happened today, God has been prompting you of, you need to share with others what I'm doing in your life. Praise me for what I'm doing. Like, whatever that might be, I encourage you to respond as the Spirit of God prompts you. The altar is going to be open. There might be people who just want to come and just pray and just thank God for His faithfulness in their life. There might be people right now that you're 2 weeks into this time of prayer and you're saying, God, I've not seen this mountain move. And maybe you just want to find a place and say, God, would you hear me in this moment? Whatever that might be, there's going to be some of our pastors and pastors' wives that'll be up at the front. There'll be some other counselors along the front as well. We just encourage you to respond as the Spirit of God prompts and leads you. Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that, Lord, we would not be people who just go through the motions, but we would engage fully in a time of praise. We would thank You. We would bless Your holy name. Lord, may that be the desire of our heart. And Lord, even as we finish out this service, may that be the words and the praise of our lips. We'll be grateful, Lord, for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing? The altar is open.